beyond other praisers. O Allah, Thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in Thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in Thy kingdom. I beseech Thee to send blessings on Muhammad, Thy servant, Thy messenger. To let me ask Thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for Thy bounties, which alone get Thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey Thee and instinctively worship Thee, and make me deserve Thy rewards on account of Thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of Thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of Thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let Thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamu alaikum, dear brother and sister in faith and humanity, and welcome. This is a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we remain true to our pledge to Al-Quds. Today we're going to speak about Quds Day.
القدس تنادينا القدس تنادينا القدس تنادينا القدس تنادي القدس تنادي القدس تنادينا.
Because today is Friday, 27th of Ramadan, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, 8th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of March, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. In this part, we listen to chapter Al-Hujurat from the Holy Quran, verse 10.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
The believers are but brothers, so make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that inasmuch as you strive to reconcile two brothers, it is also incumbent upon you to make peace seriously and decisively amongst conflicting believers. What a meaningful and interesting expression. All believers are like brethren in contentions and conflicts running amongst brethren are to be replaced by peace and sincerity. That's one of the most significant social responsibilities of Muslims against one another. In administration of justice is clarified with all its dimensions.
We are all Hezbollah! We are all Hezbollah!
So, today is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, and we commemorate the International Quds Day. The International Quds Day is among the legacies of the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. May Allah keep his soul in peace, who is revered as a spiritual leader by Muslims across the world. Back in 1979, shortly after leading an Islamic revolution which toppled the US-backed Shah of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini named the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan the Quds Day. The Quds Day rallies this year are going to be held as the resistance confront changed the equations through the Al-Aqsa flood operation. The operation proved that sticking to resistance can bring about significant accomplishments. The Al-Aqsa flood operation revived the spirit of resistance, shattered the myth of the Israeli regime's invincibility, foiled the plot of normalization of ties with the Zionist regime, showed the decline of the US power, and began the change in the world order.
One of the techniques that we see that's being used to try to destroy Islam is to make Muslims back away from the true message of Islam. The ulama tell us that now that this incident has taken place and many other incidents that have taken and will take place, that we should not, our response should not be one of becoming apologetic and trying to change Islam to make it something which is appealing to others who are against Islam. Because after all, what is Islam? Islam is the religion of justice. Islam is the religion of truth. Why should we back down from these core principles of truth, justice, or wudiya in order to appease others? So that's a technique that we must stand up to and resist against. There are other techniques as well too. One of the techniques is to create divisions and to create labels. I want to just share a story that I heard in this regard that maybe you haven't heard before, of a very clever way that the enemies of Islam wish to create divisions. Once there was a man who was used to, every morning in the city of Isfahan, he used to recite Masa'ib of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. People would come and attend, and they would shed tears for the injustices that were that took place against the Ahlul Bayt. Now, he used to recite different masab at different times, mostly related to the incidents that took place at Karbala. But there was a certain period of time where he began to only recite the masab of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra every single day. One day after the other, the same sort of incidents. After a while, one of the ulama went to him and he said that, why is it that you have switched to only reciting the masaib of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra? And you all know that on one hand, we recognize that this injustice that took place was a great injustice, and it's something that does need to be talked about and need to be understood. But it's also something that can be the source of division and disunity. And that's why everything has its own time and its own place. Why is it that you're now doing it every day? So he tells them the story. He said that I'm being paid to do that. Every day I receive 2 riyals. And because of that, I go ahead and do this. After all, there must be some donor who has this in mind. And so I go ahead and recite this masail. The alim goes and chases down the source of these 2 riyals. It turns out that this man receives it from somebody, a merchant in the bazaar. That merchant in the bazaar receives money from some man in the government. That man in the government receives money from whom? From one of the officials in the British embassy. This was in Iran at the time of one of the shahs. That man in the embassy would give 5 riyals to the man in the government. He would take 2 for himself. He would take the 3. He would go to the businessman in the bazaar. He would give him 2. And then he would go and give this to that person who was reciting the masail. Now, you know and I know that the man in the British embassy didn't have any particular love or affinity to Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha. He was after another goal.
The sound of a Lebanese child being terrorized by Israeli bombing. Palestinian children dying every day. How many will be killed this Ramadan? How many will not make it home safe tonight? Do you care? Will you stand with them? Will you march for Palestine? Make a stand for justice. March against Israeli oppression. Join the Quds Day March.
There's only one thing in my mind, and that is that when I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Qiyamah, I will be able to say, Ya Allah, I did whatever I could for those who are oppressed. I heard your command to stand up for the sake of those oppressed men, women and children who are crying, who are saying, Ya Allah, send us a helper.
Embrace the spirit of Ramadan. Join the struggle for justice.
Palestine will be free.
So, dear brother and sister, Palestine needs us. Al-Quds Day 2025. The declaration of the International Quds Day by Imam Khomeini was a good tiding for reviving the Palestinian struggle. A brief look at the Imam's message will highlight the importance of issue regarding the topic. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, I call the world Muslims and the Islamic governments to join the Palestinians in order to segregate the Zionist regime and its supporters. I declare the last Friday from the holy month of Ramadan as International Quds Day and invite the Muslims around the globe to hold rallies in solidarity with the Palestine and in favor of their legal rights on that day. I hope that the holy day, which is religiously coincide with the decree days, could determine the destiny of Palestinians as well.
أرجو رضاك يا
الله
أنت الرحيم يا
الله
هبني عطاك يا
الله
أنت الكريم
الله
منك العطاء يا
الله
أنت العظيم يا
الله
فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
Fasting involves justice as we pay attention to our heart's rights and to our spiritual needs. To fast is an act of justice towards the self. It should also be an act of justice towards human beings around the world. Those who are oppressed, the unjustly treated, Allah is just and He commands justice, as the Quran tells us. This is the message we Muslims should never forget as well, as we watch civilians being killed while they demand justice, freedom, and dignity. Our hearts and prayers should be with the oppressed, the Palestinians acknowledging that resistance against the oppressors is illegitimate, especially in non-violent ways, and especially during the month of Ramadan.
یکی از برجستگی های راه پیمایی روز قدس.
This action, confronting problems within the Islamic Ummah, is one of the prominent aspects of Quds Day rallies. Notice that in almost all small and large cities of Iran, the people take to the streets on Quds Day while they are fasting. In recent years, they have been doing so in hot weather. You were witness to the large gatherings of the people in Tehran and other cities. Those people are Shia, but they express their sympathy and support for the Palestinians who are Sunnis. This is the meaning of unity. This is the meaning of commitment to the unity of the Islamic Ummah. It is our magnanimous Imam Rahmatullahi Alayhi who laid the foundation for this, and today the people are moving towards it, unity.
همدردی و همراهی میکنند. این معنای اتحاد اینه.
Dear brother and sister, keep us and all your brothers and sisters in your prayers. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
فالشوق طال والقلب سما نحو السماء مترنما لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان 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 ليتك دوما قريب
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, so I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So today we dive into a profound teaching from the Mi'raj where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi asked Allah about the inheritance of fasting, you know, the impacts of fasting. If you don't know what Mi'raj is that's the, like, the ascension, the holy ascension of the Holy Prophet to the heavens. So this beautiful narration reveals how fasting leads to wisdom, knowledge, and certainty, yaqeen, transforming our spiritual journey. Let's reflect on the deeper meanings of this, these teachings. So, in the famous hadith of Mi'raj, Prophet Muhammad asked Allah, what is the inheritance of fasting? Or, you know, why is it called inheritance? Because, you know, we fast, but the effects of fasting would remain in us, inshallah. It would be good effects, and we would be a better person after, you know, at the end of the month of Ramadan, or every day, as every day goes on in the month of Ramadan. So Allah replied, fasting inherits wisdom, and wisdom leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to certainty or yaqeen. This is a powerful concept. Fasting is not only about abstaining from food and drink, but is also it also serves as a vehicle for spiritual growth, as a means for spiritual growth. Through fasting, we inherit wisdom. This wisdom allows us to see beyond worldly desires, guiding us to make decisions based on higher knowledge and understanding. It's a reminder that our spiritual fasting can lead to a deeper connection with Allah. So, as we continue, the narration highlights a beautiful progression. Wisdom leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to certainty. When we gain true knowledge, not just intellectual understanding, but deep, heartfelt knowledge of Allah's signs, our certainty grows. This certainty transforms our perspective on life, making us less affected by the ups and downs of this world. Whether we experience ease or hardship, our hearts are at peace, for our certainty in Allah's plan becomes unshakable. So, you know, the narration concludes with this powerful insight. When the servant reaches certainty, they are no longer concerned with how their night and day pass, whether in hardship or ease. This is the ultimate reward of fasting, a heart filled with certainty. Once we reach this level of understanding, our spiritual state is no longer dependent on our external circumstances. Whether we are in times of ease or difficulty, our faith remains steadfast, our hearts are content, and knowing, you know, that everything is in Allah's hands. So I hope that our fast would inherit us wisdom and certainty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila nisfahu
aw inqus minhu qalila aw zid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So, please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. This prominent master of Quran recitation was born in 1928 in a rural area of Sharqiya Governorate, the birthplace of Sheikh Khalil al-Husari and Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. I'm sure that you know he was Egyptian. Although being blind, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at an early age. He was interested in the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, and at first he followed his style. But after gaining more skills and expanding his experience, he mastered an independent style in reciting the Noble Quran. He had a unique style, and it's so difficult that it can rarely be followed. He was known as Malikul Waqf wal Ibtida, which is a knowledge and recitation of the Noble Quran, and it tells you where to stop and where to continue recitation. He entered Egyptian radio in 1964, and he passed away in 2003. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 112 to 115 of Surah Hud, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاستقم كما إنه بما
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 112 to 115 of Surah Hud, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this recitation by Sheikh Hassan was in Hafs an Asim entirely. So we only have the rules of tajweed of Hafs an Asim. Fastaqim, we have a qaf with a kasra. Fastaqim, we have to pronounce the qaf with the lowest level of tafkhim.
The fifth level, actually.
Which is the last level. Okay. And how is that possible? You pronounce the qaf with the root of the tongue raised, okay, and from the top part of the throat, where is the place of articulation of qaf. And actually, qaf, the place of articulation of qaf is not the throat. It's the deepest part of the tongue and the velum, the soft palate. Yes. I confused it with ghain. Or kha, ghainan kha. Actually, qaf, we use the deepest part of the tongue and the roof of the mouth right above it, which is the soft palate, qa. And we raise the root of the tongue and pronounce qa from its own place of articulation, but we spread the lips, we drop the lower lip.
Fastaqim. The shape of lips help us.
The shape of the lips is what lowers the tafkhim. If you say fastaqim, qim is incorrect. Fastaqim. And of course, qaf should be voiced. Some reciters, such as Sheikh Muhammad Rif'at, pronounce almost all the qafs like a voiceless consonant. For example, he would say fastaqim. Fastaqim is not correct. It should be voiced.
We must have the vibration of the vocal cords.
Yes, we need the vibration of the vocal cords. And of course, nowadays, Arab phoneticians, they say that qaf could be either voiceless or voiced. But as far as tajweed is concerned, qaf is a voiced consonant. And that's why it has qalqala, because it's voiced and also a letter of shiddah. Kama umirt. We have matul munfasil.
Disjunct, man.
A disjunct lengthening. And Sheikh Hassan, I believe he applied qasr. He did qasr of matul munfasil, which is two vowel counts. We have tawassut, which is four vowel counts. And we have fawq tawassut, which is five vowel counts. And the number of vowel counts, a lot of people might ask, what do you mean by two vowel counts or five? Four vowel counts and five vowel counts. It means the sound of kasra doubled. That would be two vowel counts. If you multiplied by four the sound of fatha or any other vowel or any other med, you would have four vowel counts.
Yeah, any other short vowel.
Other short vowel. If you multiplied by five, you would have five vowel, vowel counts. For example, instead of saying eh, you say, that would be four vowel counts. If you lengthen it a little bit more, it would be five vowel counts. And it depends on the speed of your recitation, okay?
Yeah.
Whether it is murattal or mujawwad. Murattal would be faster. You would recite the Quran more quickly. And mujawwad would be slower.
Yes.
Okay. So you have to take this into consideration that the number of vowel counts is different among, actually between Murattal and Mujawwad.
Depending upon the speed of the recitation, as you said.
Precisely, yes. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. We have تعملون. The عين is ساكن. We have to make sure that there is no قلقلة. Mm-hmm. And the عين is pronounced with توسل.
Concerning
with
timing
شدة.
Of the letter.
Yes. Another problem that some reciters have when pronouncing عين with سكون is that they do اختلاص, which is not acceptable. And اختلاص means that half of the sound of عين goes into the ميم. تعملون. If you say تعملون, that's incorrect. تعملون.
Yes.
So it should be a little longer.
But there are some places where actually اختلاص is advised.
Yes. اختلاص, even whenever you pronounce it with توسط, اختلاص takes place at the end, after you have pronounced the عين
completely.
Completely with the correct amount of timing. You don't say تعملون. There is no pause in between it. You say تعملون. At the end, you do the اختلاص.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say تعملون right at the beginning, this is an incorrect اختلاص. بصير. The صاد has a ياء المد. Again, we have to pronounce it with the lowest level of تفخيم.
That's right.
بصير. Again, we use the shape of the lips. It helps us to lower the level of تفخيم. And the راء is ساكن as a result of وقف. So we have to apply ترقيق.
Yeah,
we have to read the راء with thinness, with no velarization. It's called attenuation. Some people call it this. Some tajweed experts say it's attenuation, which is the opposite. It means that the tongue is not inclined to the roof of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
ولا تركنوا إلى. We have مد المنفصل again.
And here now, we.
You don't have a choice anymore. Yeah. You have to stick to your previous
first decision.
Choice. Yes.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for joining us in this new episode. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests. Brother Liaqat and Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Alaykum assalam.
And just as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you to introduce yourself very briefly so that we can get into the very heart of discussion. So let's just start with Sister Zainab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Zainab Askari. I'm from Kashmir, Indian administrated Kashmir. And I've been living in Iran for some 10 years now and studying Hausa here.
Very good. Thank you for joining us, Sister Zainab. And you, Brother Liaqat?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas from India. And right now I'm pursuing my master's in psychology. And my interest is in history, Islamic history, as well as psychology. Thank you.
Thank you both of you very much for joining us in today's episode. Well, there are many people out there who do believe that you cannot change a human being just the way as you cannot change a leopard's spot. Once the spots are there, there's no way for you to change them. They're just there. Well, as for myself, if I want to mention my own perspective, I would say that it's totally very difficult for human beings to change after the mold of their existence is done, is built.
People can change themselves at any part of their life, at any point of the time. But yes, the biological experts have debated that up to the age of 25, there's this brain development. And not after that, and maybe...
And after that is a halt.
Yeah. So the basic structure that you're talking about, maybe it's that up to 25. But I think it goes against this. Why do we have then, one should learn from cradle to grave. So there's no full stop. You can change up to the end of, like, every time we learn something adds to our knowledge, it changes something. But at the same time, there's also this verse that also makes this question mark in my mind. Is this change possible or not? Because there's this verse that says in Quran that, I'll just try to tell the gist of that, not the exact translation, that when people in the hellfire would request that, please send us back to the earth so that we can do what we did not do in the previous life and all, then Allah would tell them, even if you go back, you would do the same thing over and over again and again. So this is just an excuse.
Actually, I have worked upon Surah Ad-Dukhan, and that is exactly what Sister Zainab was also saying. Like, even if they have to be allowed to go back to the world, they are not going to change. They're not going to bring their belief back, which they have to. And about the question itself, like, can humans change over their lifetime? Like, is there any kind of change seen? From an Islamic perspective, the Islam says until the age of 40, okay, from what ahadith we have. And after that, it is a kind of stamp mark upon the personality or thinking perspective.
Now, it just reminds me of that proverb that says, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Because it becomes very difficult for you to change.
Exactly. And even like when we want to explain or when we try to explain from the pulpits, we normally target the youths, the youngsters. We don't target the older generation. Because we know that it is kind of difficult for them to change their ideology. When we see a dispute between an old man and a youngster, we try to explain the youngster and not the old man. And what we have been taught. Why? Yeah. Because it's easier for us to explain, make him understand, rather than making the old man
They're
understand.
They're much flexible.
They're naturally more impulsive.
Yeah, exactly. They are much more prone to change.
Yeah.
But the older people, it would be a little bit difficult. I would say it's not just the story of age, you know. It's about your mindset.
Exactly.
Also, we have a lot of examples who have changed at a very old age. So we're not saying that there is a full stop to human beings' improvement. No, there is no full stop. But there is a full stop to when ignorance is there. And once you have set your mindset on something, it would be very difficult for you to change it. Under only one circumstances and only one condition, you can change it all. And it is the intention. So we go for a break and then we'll come back to talk about intention and how it could change someone.
This
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Yes, to change a human being at an age that is considered to be old, and I take that as 30 and above, it's very difficult. But then there are some ways, and then I mentioned intention. Well, even in our Islamic narrations, we have this idea of change, but the only condition that has been mentioned there is that you have to want it. You have to want that change to happen. And then I would like you to shed some lights upon this idea that once the change is possible for a person, they have to have the intention of that change. It doesn't happen haphazardly. Like when you just decide, okay, I'm going to go on a change, as if it's a journey, would it happen?
Of course it would happen, because you have already intended it. When you intend something, your brain is already 50% on the track. So then you have the only 50% job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have this hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam that if today was exactly like yesterday, then you're probably in loss.
Mm-hmm.
So every day is there to learn, to evolve as a better personality, to change as a better person. And like every day learning can reshape our ideology.
You see what my point is? I say that, like, for example, we all have been in that condition where we have to teach our grandparents something. Something about cell phones, something about driving, for example. And then when you approach them, when you get to them to teach them something, you feel like it's a bit impossible because they have already had their mindset. For these kind of people, if you want to suggest a change, how would you get into it? What are the recommendations for the old people if they want and if there is the will for them to change?
So basically, over here we have to see the opposite person, if the person is ready to accept it or not. It is kind of a difficult task, especially for the youngsters or the youths, I would say, even for the adults as well. If we see an old person who is having a particular mindset, then it is kind of a tricky thing to make him or her understand about changing the
mm-hmm.
person's ideology or whatever. Even like Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, if we see in all his journey, he has collected only few people who were like kind of course we can say who were old aged people, right? Amongst them was Zuhair example, amongst them was Hur example. It is because of the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that Hur could change completely from a bad guy to a good person, a noble person, I would say. Even Zuhair, and like Zuhair's story is very different again. So coming back over here, it's actually the words which have a lot of impact and which can change a person. The second thing what we have to look at is the capacity of the person himself. Like if the person has the capacity to change, the Imam changed only those persons or those people who had the capacity. In front of Imam, there were thousands and thousands of others, be it old or youngsters even. But the Imam was like, okay, your bellies are filled with haram things, yeah?
Yeah.
Those which are,
you
see, so Imam is pointing out to something which makes a person or which stops a person from changing.
The surroundings do play an important role. And I would say for me, it was travel.
Mm-hmm.
Travel experience.
Meeting many people.
Yeah. I think traveling is exploring.
Yeah.
When you travel to a certain...
It's an adventure.
Yeah. The moment you see the diversity of cultures, the moment you see the... even I think it takes you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the diversity, you know the people, and that definitely does add to your knowledge and that definitely expands your perspective.
And it would give you this potential to understand that it's not only you.
Yeah.
There are many other perspectives. It's a spectrum of ideas and worldviews. Welcome back. Well, this is the final part of today's episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for staying with us until now. Well, we're talking about the fact that change is possible, though sometimes it might seem very tricky and difficult and impossible. There are some different conditions for it that Sister Zainab and Brother Liaghat have already touched upon, the factors of when the change is possible and how. I remember that I heard something again, which was very interesting, said by a scholar. I usually thought about this fact that there are many sinners out there. We see a lot of them getting improved, getting developed in their, you know, in their status, in everything. They get everything. But then I was just thinking, what is lacking in their life? And then this scholar was saying that when you see many people achieving many things and those people are not exactly as what God has instructed them to be, remember that in life we have an occasion in which by the much of sins that you do, the more you get drowned in that never-ending ocean of sins, then God would take away from you that spirituality that you have to have. With that spirituality, your improvement and your success would be doubled. And if not in a worldly way, then your place in heaven is going to be improved.
Right.
So when you sin too much and you are headless about it and you do not pay attention to whatever you're doing of wrong, then the thing that happens is that the blessing of understanding and change is going to be taken away from you. You're going to stay the same personality as you were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So this potential of change is going to be taken away from you. And I link this to spirituality. I think if we wish to change, one important factor to have is spirituality. Because without the help of God,
yeah,
it would be impossible.
The important thing is that your intention here to change, because we have this in, I guess, chapter 13 of Quran, that if indeed Allah does not change the situation of a
nation
until they wish to change themselves.
Yeah, so right? It has to start from you yourself.
It has to change from you yourself. As Brother Liaghat gave the examples, like, you know, we even had people from who happened to be, you know, we say in Farsi, Aqibat Bikhair, whose end was a good ending.
Ended their life at a bright point.
Right, even if they had, they lived their lives the opposite way. But the end was a good ending. All begins with that intention of
and
changing.
And likewise vice versa, by the way. The life was beautiful. I mean, the life was on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God. And the end was Sharr al-Aqibah, basically.
Yeah. And we have a lot of examples, even among the scholars who were so proud of themselves, or maybe others thought that they would end up as maybe angels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then unfortunately.
So when we have this concept of tawbah, the concept of repentance in Islam, this itself encourages the will that we have to transform. We always have to keep on the path of transformation.
It must
be a better transformation.
State of change.
And as you mentioned, that some people really do not. And because there is this persistence in sins. When there is persistence in sins, this is the worst thing.
You
in
get
Islam.
Blind, actually.
Yeah. Like a sin is not discouraged that much. Persistence in sins is discouraged a lot, because it is this persistence in sins that locks your hearts, and then you are unable to see. And many other factors, like Brother said in the beginning of the episode, like it's the haram food that you take in, or the unlawful earnings that you take in, that do not help you change for a better.
Thank you, both of you. I guess you touched upon very important factors. Just to wrap it all up, I would say that what Sister Zainab mentioned at the end is very important. Like the things that we do, if you wish to change and you see that it's not happening, maybe you have to review your life and see it in retrospect, how you are coping with your life and with your problems. The much of sins that we do, unfortunately, would lock up our mind, our eyes, our ears, so we're not going to pay any attention for the things that are for our benefit and for our blessings. The thing that happens is that once you get blindfolded, then you are unable to change. So this is a very important thing that we have to keep in mind. But this was all for today. I hope you have just enjoyed it. Until another session, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim.
again, let us see daylight again, once again.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another enlightening episode of Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Today, we honor the life of Prophet Muhammad, a beacon of light for humanity, a source of light for humanity. Join us as we discuss his enduring message of love, unity, and resilience that transcends time and inspires millions around the world. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Nahid having the honor of hosting you today on this episode. What we are going to talk about today are the characteristics, the personality features that our great prophet had. Let's start the features of our noble character of Islam with honor. The Prophet lived for 40 years among the people before he began his mission. And during this time, his character showed no signs of any bad qualities. He was known to be an honest person and trustworthy individual, as we know the nickname people had chosen for him, which was Amin, the person who was trustworthy and honest and would never lie. Afterwards, when the Prophet delivered the message of Allah, the infidels could not deny the Prophet's virtues, though they turned against him. Those people who were living beside him and were living in the same place wanted to turn around, wanted to change their mindset and make a stand against the Prophet. But they could not deny any of his virtues, but rather they denied the Quranic verses. This matter has been mentioned in the Quran as well. Yet it is not you that they deny, but it is Allah's signs that the wrongdoers make his stand against. So in Quran also, we see that they wanted, of course, the easiest way would be to deny the character of the person who is claiming to have one religion,